Welcome to the Holy Shit Podcast. Frank and Patsy get together to discuss the issues of the moment. You know, the things that make you say, holy shit. Here are your hosts, Master Hapkidoist, Patsy Zarilla, and Attorney Frank Natel, Esquire.
I have not even begun to fight.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Holy Shit, episode 30, the Big 3-0. I'm your co-host, Patsy Zarilla.
And I'm co-host Frank Natel.
And that's Oscar.
He's weighing in. He couldn't wait to talk.
And that's Oscar. wow, we've had a lot since you and I talked last. We got some drama, especially yesterday. Before we get started, how was your week?
Week's been great. As you know, one of our other channels that you and I speak on a lot is a soccer talk pod, and it's called Butchered Sports. But yesterday was an eventful day. Napoli beat Liverpool at home 2-0. Of course, they did that last year 1-0, but yesterday seemed a little bit more momentous, that they won 2-0, and on the heels of Liverpool just playing lights out so far in the Premier League, like they didn't have a chink in their armor. For Napoli to win yesterday, it's really been, quite honestly, I'm going to say it's been the highlight of my week.
Yeah, I was happy for you. You know, my inner, all my sides drew, right?
That it could be worse.
Yeah, really. I mean, we'll take a point, especially Barca taking a point over in Germany. And you know, I'm guessing we're really going to get into this, you know, tomorrow on your pod, but. That was Barca's not a good side. There's no other way to put it. Barcelona's just not a good side this year.
Not yet. They haven't played like it yet, but they haven't had everybody, and you're right, we'll get into it tomorrow, but they haven't had everybody together at one time, kind of up to speed yet. So we'll see.
Speaking of not being a good side, we had the Lewandowski meeting in the House yesterday. The House Judiciary Committee.
Huh? You're good, Patsy. You're good.
I tell you what, we're getting better. You know that? We're getting better. You just got to keep plugging away, right? Eventually things are going to start working for you. I guess the kindest thing that I saw, the kindest headline that I've seen about the hearing came from CNN. Around 8:30 this morning, and the headline was "Absurd Lewandowski Hearing Raises Doubts About Dem's Strategy." Frank, I couldn't agree more with a headline, and that, you know, normally headlines are just attention getters, but I'm at a loss. I don't know if you saw Maddow last night, if you watched Rachel Maddow last night, but she kind of hit on something, and it really made a whole lot of sense to me. And I don't understand why an entire Judiciary Committee didn't think of this. She said, "You know, it might be a good idea for you guys to let the attorneys go first. You know, because I guess, and I'm sorry, the his name escapes me.
Barry Burke.
That's it. Yeah." He was on point, and he had Lewandowski on his heels for a huge part of that, and got him to admit, even in a left-handed way, a lot of things that he wasn't willing to admit to. And you would think that they would have put the professional first and then followed up on what he established, as opposed to them just giving their 5 minutes and doing what they got to do and then having the professional come in and clean up. Because people aren't going to pay attention to the cleanup, right? They're going to pay attention to what's going on. I was curious what you thought about that.
Yeah, thanks for the question. It's an excellent place to start. I think it's one of the best analyses out there at this point in time. And I definitely have a similar thought. It hit me. I did not watch Maddow last night, but you know, it does not surprise me that she thought that, because. She's bright. She's on point too. I think You know, I differ in a little way from her, and I'm going to get into it just briefly with you. All this set up to say, yes, I think that there's this hubris on the part of all legislators. They want to have their moment in the sun. They want to have their moment to shine. They think they're all, you know, some master, you know, cross-examiners. They're not. They're legislators, okay? They're not trial lawyers. Some of them may have been trial lawyers back in the day, but quite frankly, there's not a lot of trial lawyers in the Senate or in the House. Because to be a politician, you have to dedicate your life to being a politician. You have to go out and earn votes, and you have to work real hard at that. Being a trial lawyer does not typically win you votes. You have to spend a lot of time honing your craft and working on cases hours at a time, building your cases, building block by building block, with a lot of tedious stuff, and then you have your moment to shine when you go into court. Those two professions, lawyers often become politicians, but not necessarily trial lawyers don't become politicians all the time. So, you know, there's this hubris amongst them that they're lawyers. They think that they're courtroom lawyers, but they're not. And I'm really not trying to knock them, but it's a special skill. It's a skill that you have to acquire and work on. But I will say this, for all of the, you know, short-term excitement that Trump and Lewandowski and any of the sycophants that are in the Trump camp got from the performance of Lewandowski yesterday, that's real short term. That is real short term. And it's short term thinking to think that that somehow won them anything, and that Lewandowski has won anything, because Lewandowski probably torpedoed his own chances to win any political race with his antics yesterday. And if you put his antics on the heels of all of his TV performances, he has given so much fodder to whoever runs against him to just blow him out of the water. So let me get to my last point on this, and we'll throw it back. I want to throw it back to you, Patsy. My last point on this is, in trial work, in any kind of presentation work, where you're presenting to the public or to a jury or whatever, or just presenting in a seminar, people say that there's two theories that are very important to remember: primacy and recency. Okay, primacy is what goes first, right? So people often remember the first thing you say when you first walk into the courtroom or you first walk in to give a presentation. If you're very dry and you say, "Hi, I'm Frank Nattel. I was born in Newcastle, Pennsylvania. My parents are Italian and Irish," and, you know, they're going to remember that, but that's really not attention grabbing. Mm-hmm. But if I walked in and said, "I'm going to hit you all in the face today with the best facts you've ever heard," you know, okay, something like that. I'm exaggerating, but, you know, if I walk in and said, "Imagine my client sitting by the bed with his wife, tubes connected to her nose, every day he brings his lunch and unpacks it on the side table in the hospital next to her. They spent 35 years together, and this is what his days are reduced to now. He strokes her hair, she can't respond. He talks to her, he sings to her, she can't respond to him the way that they used to. The glisten in her eye is gone." Now they're wrapped into that story, right? Instead of me saying, "Hi, I'm Frank Nattel. I'm here to represent blah, 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 blah." The primacy of what you say at the beginning, people remember that, okay? But there's also the recency, the last thing that's said. And this is where I think that maybe accidentally the Democrats got it right, because the last thing of the day was Burke nailing the shit out of Lewandowski. And here's the thing, too. You could argue that Lewandowski had his moments in the sun where he thought he was really getting over on people. And then the pro came in when he was worn down and tired and the whole day was done, and Lewandowski had nothing left for him. He was up against somebody who knew how to like take the answers that he was giving and run with them. And we call that riding the wild ponies. Okay. Lewandowski's giving these guys wild ponies all day, and they're bucking them all over the place. And the Democrat Congress people don't know how to handle that. They're like, "Oh, you're lying about that. You're lying about that." You know, they're getting all upset when he starts saying the things that he's saying. And then the professional trial lawyer gets up and says, "Okay, so you said that. That's cool. So, but what you're saying now by saying that is that you weren't telling the truth." You know, and he went and took the pony and rode with it. He's like, "I'm going to ride right where you're taking me, because where you're taking me is going to screw you." And that's my point in this whole thing. They scored some short-term points, and you can cheer and everything else if you're a Republican sycophant, you know, about how he had these Democrat lawmakers running in circles. But his actions and his words, which were ultimately called out by Barry Burke, are going to come back to haunt him, and they're going to come back to haunt Donald Trump, because you can only play this game so long. So I've got a lot of thoughts on this and how it plays out in terms of elections, in terms of public opinion and everything. But that's my first thought on it, my first few thoughts. And I went on a little bit, but given that, I mean, I know how you're feeling walking into this, but what do you think? I'm not praising the Democrat strategy. What I'm saying is they may have lucked out.
Well, yeah, I mean, they lucked out. Okay. You're absolutely right. This was not a very orchestrated, a very well orchestrated way of doing things. I don't think if you'd have taken the Senate and took some of the folks in the Senate, I'm thinking the Kamala Harris's of the world, this would have been far different, right? Where Barry Burke was brilliant. And I know whenever you said this is going to come back to haunt Lewandowski, and I think you were dead on, because Burke got him to say one statement that's going to haunt him for the rest of his career. He said, "I have no obligation to be honest with the media." Okay, that's going to come back and haunt him like crazy. Not with the media, because a couple hours later, CNN had him on, which. You know, I don't understand. How the hell can you have somebody sit there and say, I have no obligation to be honest with the media, and then book him to be on your show? You know, it literally makes no sense to me at all. But this clown's thinking about running for political office, and he sits there and states and makes that blatant statement. His future is done. He's not going to win a primary, let alone a general. I think you were right in another sense. Whenever they're looking at these big hits, and you made the analogies, I'm going to hit you over the head with the best facts you ever heard, or whatever. It made me think of the people that they're gearing their message to is people who are looking for, you know, the WWE type entertainment.
Yep.
Right. That's what they're looking for. They're not looking for, they want that big quick hit, that something that they can, you know, go talk to the guys about the next day. Hey, did you hear Lewandowski say yada, 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 yada? You know, he owned those libs, you know, that type thing. That's what they're looking for, and that's the base and the general electorate that they're playing to. And you know, speaking of playing to things, let's face it, Lewandowski was putting on a performance for one person and one person only, right? That was it. And he as far as that goes, as far as, you know, playing that how he played it for Trump. He hit a home run. You know, he really did. It was a good day for Trump just because of how Lewandowski handled the committee. And that's, you know, kind of my problem is they really didn't seem to have any kind of strategy going into this. They were just going to ask their own questions, and that was it, and just let him off the hook. And you were dead on again whenever you said, you know, they don't know how to question somebody. They're just asking him something, and he's going to say whatever he's going to say, and they don't know how to you know, that verbal jiu-jitsu. They don't know how to let him talk himself into a corner.
Right.
And
they didn't take his own words and use them against them, which is what Burke was doing.
And Burke did it, and he was brilliant whenever he did it, right? I wonder what the Democrats are going to do now. You know, I wonder what the committee is going to do with these folks now. Now that this has happened, and he had his day in the sun, what happens now? Because it was obvious that they got nothing out of it. It was obvious that he wasn't being truthful. He was either not being truthful yesterday, or he wasn't being truthful whenever you know, whenever he spoke to Robert Mueller or, you know, his folks.
And that's what they should have nailed down very clearly was, okay, you weren't being truthful with the media. You told us that. That's your belief that you don't have to be truthful with the media. So you are being truthful. You were being truthful with Robert Mueller, though, and you're being truthful with us today, correct? Correct. So what you're saying is this happened, right? So that's what they needed to nail down. And, you know, the other thing is that I just want to kind of go back to this point of the short-term win versus the long-term loss. You know, the playing to the base thing, you know, and this is where Trump's going to find his major problems are going to come in. Forget about elections. But from the country standpoint and who you govern, if Lewandowski runs for office, you know, he doesn't want to be truthful with the media, or he wants to pretend like, you know, I can say whatever I want to say to the media because the media is dishonest. And when he went on his campaign again after that with CNN, you know, he went in there and started accusing them of keeping people on payroll that are dishonest. You know, he started naming names. The thing is, where is the equity in the bank for you? Okay. So in other words, when you go to the public and say to them, I need you to support this initiative because here's why. It's so important to you because here's why. You're going to have at least 50% of the people who don't believe you. You know, when politicians would go to people and say, we need to support this project, maybe people didn't like politicians, but if they came to their home district and say, we got this project and we're going to install it like the Shell cracker plant, it's going to be great for great for the economy here. You might have a few people that are like, I don't know how good that is for the environment, but if this guy's saying it's going to bring money in, it's going to bring jobs in, it's going to bring, you know, prosperity to our area, let's see how it goes. You know, you've got probably, you know, 70% of the population in an area are going to just say, if it's good for us, then let's give it a shot. But when you've got these polarizing people like Lewandowski and Trump, you're already starting with 50%+ of the people who just don't believe you. So instead of bringing this project home to an area wherever he's going to govern and having automatic kind of 70 to 80% of the people saying, yeah, we're going to support this. You're going to have 50 to 60% of the people saying, we're very skeptical. In fact, we don't want this to go through and we're not going to give our support for it. So that's the short term, you know, that's the long term loss that he's going to have to deal with, even if he does get elected. And that's the long term loss that Trump's going to have to deal with, because right now, look at what's going on in the world. We've got the Saudi oil fields, which were supposedly bombed, supposedly took some damage. And immediately he wants to tell the public, this was Iran. You know what? Maybe it was. I'm not saying it wasn't. But what was the immediate reaction, Patsy? What was the immediate reaction from most of the public when he said that?
Yeah, there's almost like they didn't believe him.
Right. Yeah. And imagine if there was a real crisis hitting close to home. And he came out and said, we need to do this immediately because we're in danger. It's like the boy who cried wolf. How many people are not going to believe him?
Yeah, that's the truth, too. What's going to happen, though, the one time where, you know, there's actually something real going on? No one's going to look at and take him seriously.
Right.
You know.
We got this caravan of migrants coming up here. They're going to invade our border. We're under invasion. And nothing happened. And you know, everybody, the Trump sycophants were all like, oh, yeah, we got to stop that invasion. We're going to go down there with our own weapons and go to the border. And nothing happened. You know, so like you said, what happens if something real is a threat to America? The people who are not the sycophants, the 60 to 70% of people who are just kind of like, this is an ugly situation with this guy leading us. They're going to be like, I don't believe you. I don't believe you. So.
Yeah, you just sit there and go, yeah, sure, it's going to happen.
Right.
You know, we have a hurricane that's going to, you know, hit, you know, Louisiana or wherever it is. And he gets on the Twitter machine and he says, everybody evacuate Louisiana. There's a hurricane that's going to hit. And everybody goes, yeah, okay, sure.
Yeah, right.
Would you do that in Sharpie too?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. It's just... it's so short term, the way he's set up his presidency and the way he's set up his political, you know, power or equity. There is no equity left in it. And this is why things like yesterday, while very, you know, irritating, I guess, is the level of irritation to me. If you looked at the needle and it's on zero when I start the morning, is it going to go into the red by, you know, seeing things like we invited the Taliban to come to Camp David? And if my meter goes to 20 on the worst, it goes to 20 on the negative side, and the best, it goes to 20 on the green side. You know, I'm probably in an 18 when I hear that our president supposedly invited the Taliban on the week of 9/11 on the negative side. Yesterday is like a 0.5. Like I could give two shits less. Like I don't care what the media says about how that performance was yesterday. The guy's a fucking jackass. Lewandowski's a fucking jackass. He doesn't fucking have any level of intelligence that's set around, you know, long-term strategy and planning. He's just fucked his career. He's fucked his life up. And the Democrats are, you know, they're kind of running in circles and not knowing what they're doing, but they don't have a strategy in terms of how to attack this guy, but, or Trump in general. But it's a thing that when our public, the general public, looks at these kind of things, after you look through it through the lens of a week, 2 weeks, a month, everybody's kind of like, damn, this guy's a fucking tool. And, you know, you want us to like, you want us to be excited about who you represent and who you are part of, the administration you were part of. You want us to be excited about that because you could walk into a hearing and obfuscate and quote unquote own the libs. You know, that's not what governing is about. That's not what moving, you know, our economy is about, taking care of healthcare issues is about. None of this is getting us anywhere. So the whole thing about yesterday, literally, Patsy, I was kind of like, meh, whatever.
Yeah, but the only thing that bothers me about all of this isn't really what they're doing in the short term, but the damage they're creating in the long term.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, because an action that you take short term doesn't always have short term repercussions or short term consequences, right? Right. And so sometimes these actions you take, whenever you have this short sighted view of things, not only affect you later in life, it affects people who come after you later.
Absolutely.
And you have a whole bunch of folks who literally don't give a fuck. Right. They simply do not care about anything that will happen 6 months from now, right? Let alone 6 years from now, let alone six, you know, presidential terms from now. The damage that Trump has done, Trump and his cronies have done to the standing of our country in the world, and the damage he's done in 3 years destroyed everything that Obama was able to establish in eight. So in less than half the time, he ruined it. And he didn't just take it down to you know, the Bush level, where, you know, maybe the folks didn't think Bush was the brightest in the world, but they didn't think he was a piece of shit, right? I mean, well, maybe after, you know, the invasion, maybe, but, you know, they still kind of, he still did enough or was on point enough that it really didn't destroy the standing of the office of president in the eyes of the world.
He wasn't trying to dismantle our form of government and our way of life, which, yeah, it's pretty clear that Trump is following a blueprint of Steve Bannon and some, you know, Miller that are looking at trying to dismantle all of our institutions. And that's what he's trying to accomplish. And in the process, becoming, creating, stepping into that power vacuum and becoming the dictator, the autocrat, the family that is going to run America for the next, you know, whatever number of years.
Yeah, and George Bush didn't spend half of his time trying to dismantle everything that Bill Clinton did.
Right.
You know, he just did his thing. If policies or whatever that Clinton had established did not fit his agenda, then he shoved them aside, got rid of them, whatever it was. But his agenda was not to destroy what Clinton did.
Yeah.
He had his own agenda. If Clinton's stuff got in the way, then he got rid of it. This guy has, you know, he's got Obama derangement syndrome, right? I mean, So he wants to destroy all of that. He wants to try to establish. I mean, tell me, Frank, in all honesty, what was the purpose of this of getting us out of the Iran deal? Whenever now we have to struggle to create an Iran deal.
Yeah, I mean, he's looking at loaning their country $15 billion. Which, what's the guarantee that we get paid back on that? You know, it's one of those things where you put them in a position where you know you've got to bail them out. So we're going to loan them $15 billion. Do we ever get that money back? Do we ever get it back in real sense? Do we ever get it back? And secondly, you know, like, what's the reason for that? If we hadn't torn up this agreement, would we even be in a position where we'd be having to loan $15 billion?
Right. That's the point. And nothing happened. There was no set of circumstances. There was no anything that happened that made us have any reason to get out of this deal. He just decided he wanted to do it.
Yeah.
That was it. That short-term thinking and the short-term goals is what I'm talking about, how it has long-term effects. This shit that Lewandowski and these clowns are doing are going to have long-term effects. And I'll even do one better, Frank. I think whenever it comes to stuff like we saw yesterday, to a large extent, the Democrats are almost as bad, because the only reason Lewandowski, who's a punk, did this stuff is because he knew before his ass was in that seat, he knew there was not going to be any repercussions. There was going to be a lot of talk. There was going to be a lot of grandstanding. There was going to be a lot of, you know, pants on fire things. But at the end of the day, nothing was going to happen to him, and he knew it.
Right.
Well, there's no point in exercising your responsibilities as a Congress if you're not willing to enforce those things. And I don't see this Congress willing to enforce anything.
Right. No, I agree with you. And that's a problem. And that's the bigger problem that I have with yesterday. And the ongoing thing is, you asked earlier, what are the Democrats going to do moving forward? Well, what a strategic Democratic Party should do is they should run with the last moment that you had of kind of that last recency thing that I talked about, which was Barry Burke saying, you know, the bit about Lewandowski writing a book. Remember this? He wrote a book about how Trump came to power. And in that book, he talked about, you know, his conversations with Trump, including conversations in close period of time to the subject of yesterday's hearing. So there's no privilege. And that was what was established in Burke's questioning. He effectively destroyed the illusion of this privilege that they're asserting to keep people from testifying about their conversations with Trump. And that's what they need to run with. And they need to form a strategy around that. And they need to either call Lewandowski back and say, you can't assert privilege about anything because you have no privilege. You've waived that privilege. First of all, it's not your privilege to assert. Secondly, nobody can assert it over you because you wrote a book about all these conversations you had and you put it out in the public eye. So now you need to answer these questions under oath, under subject of penalty of perjury. And if you don't answer them, if you choose not to answer them, we're going to hold you in contempt and we're going to jail you. And the same with all these other idiots that have claimed, you know, some claim of privilege.
Yeah.
Privilege. They need to call them back and they need to say there is no such thing. And your choice is this: you testify or you go to jail. And they need to hold that standard going forward. So that would be my response to your question earlier. And I have a question for you. And this is on topic, but it's more long view. You know, it's pretty clear to me that if you sat people down and you took away the moniker Democrat or took away the moniker Republican, forget about political party affiliations, and you just said, I have a list of things. You prioritize this list of things and tell me what you find important and most important for our government to work on. And if you said, you know, the list includes things like healthcare, keeping our planet safe from environmental hazards, education for our children, making sure that they grow up and learn what they need to learn, the skill sets that they need to learn to succeed in the world ahead, fair wages for workers, you know, the right to raise your family the way you choose to fit, religious freedoms, freedom from, you know, repression, things like that. You know, whatever you want to list, okay, just list everything that you think a government could be involved in. I bet you that if you then put the monikers over top of those lists and said who are for these things, you know, and who are opposing these things, and you saw that the list mostly, what was most important to people in this country, the list fell into the Democrat side more than it fell into the Republican side. But then let's add these things to the list. Abortion and the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you add those two things to the list, and are those things important to you? Is it important to you that people have the right to choose, or is it important to you that a baby, unborn baby, has a chance to come into this world without being aborted? You're going to have a serious split on that issue. Okay. It's going to be a serious split. And I'm just being honest. There's going to be people out there that have very divided views on that topic.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's going to be this question of, do you believe that the American public via the Second Amendment has a right to bear arms? And you go into the flyover country, you go into parts of our state, Pennsylvania, you go into parts of Maryland, you go into parts of Ohio, a lot of parts of Ohio, all the Midwest, all the South. And there's going to be a large volume of people that truly hold that belief dear to them. It's a fact. They want to continue on with an unfettered right to Second Amendment rights. You can't fight the fact that those people believe that. Okay.
Right. Yep.
You can fight that. You can ask people, do you think there should be gun safety measures? And I bet you a lot of people will mark that down and say, that's important. Do you think that there should be gun education? Yes, it's important. Do you think that there should be background checks to keep guns out of people's hands that are dangerous? Yes. Okay. So you're going to have that checked in that column. So you add all those things up, and I ask you this question, all that to ask you this question. If you're a Democratic strategist and you want to win elections, and that's your main goal, it's not to win the hearts and minds of people, it's to win an election. How do you counsel the Democratic Party overall, and in people in individual elections in flyover states? What do you tell them to say?
Yeah, you tell them to be moderate.
Yeah.
Yeah, you tell them to, you know, maybe you tell them you sort of lean a certain way, but you're kind of leaning that way. You're not willing to, you know, jump off the cliff going that way, right? You tone everything down. Constantly try you do basically what Obama did, right? You kind of navigate the middle ground, and you know, whenever you get in, maybe you change your tune. But until then, whenever you're talking to these people, you try to be as moderate and let's say level-headed, even though, you know, that's not true, but it serves a purpose to say something like that, right? Calm. It makes you look like you're a deep thinker, and you're willing to listen to arguments, and you're willing to do what's best for everybody, even if both sides have to compromise a little bit. You know, to me, that's what I would be telling them.
Yeah, I think you have to acknowledge that the Second Amendment is an amendment that was important to the founding fathers. There's the First Amendment, says we can gather, we can have free speech, and it's protected. It's absolutely protected, and there's a reason for that. Because they know that we have to assemble, that we have to have the right to talk about how to preserve our democracy and how to preserve our freedoms. And then the very next one, the Second Amendment, out of 20 plus amendments, is the right to bear arms.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to acknowledge it. I'm not saying that, you know, we should be allowing, you know, people to walk around with AR-15s in businesses. I'm not saying that. But as if you're shaping a political strategy, what you have to walk into these rooms, you know, in Arkansas, in Nebraska, in Iowa, you know, where the first caucuses are, you walk into a room full of people that are undecided, or, you know, maybe even Republican leaning, and you're a Democrat trying to win their vote. You got to walk in and say, you know what? Personally, I don't believe in abortion. Personally, I believe in the Second Amendment's, what the Second Amendment stands for. And I'll never abridge the Second Amendment. And I don't care what you do when you're in office. because let's face facts, Trump lies every single day. He's lied tens of thousands of times. So if I'm a Democratic strategist, I'm telling every one of my people I'm counseling, you walk into those rooms and you tell them that those are the two things that you personally believe in. Mm. Politics is different. Politics is different. But personal beliefs, you communicate with those people. And then when they see that that's your belief, everything else that you're fighting for them for is what becomes important to them.
Right. Right. You establish authenticity.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. What these clowns are doing, though, is, again, you know, like, and you were dead on, right? That it was the short-term everything. We're going to play on your fears. We're going to play on your stereotypes. We're going to play on your mistrust of the other. And we're going to tell you that only we can keep you safe, and only we can make it better.
That's right.
So, you know, and like you said, the problem is that's short term. That's short term. Going back to your point, we have a state congressman here in our district, right? Who will have his seat until he retires, and he's never going to get voted out, simply because he does exactly what you're saying. You know, Sayonara, right?
Yeah. I mean,
that's what he does. And in his defense, if you look at his voting record, that's pretty much what he is. But he doesn't ever, you never see or hear of him going off the deep end on either way, whether he's you know, conservative or liberal. And you know how the people around here vote, right? They wouldn't, if Jesus had a D behind his name, he'd lose most of the areas around here.
Absolutely.
And yet you have this state, is he a senator? No, he's a rep. He's a state rep.
Yep.
Who is about probably as middle of the road as you're going to find anybody ever. And he gets to the point where no one even bothers to run against him.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know how many consecutive terms it's been, but it's been a shit ton.
Yeah, it's been a bunch. And people are happy with him, right? I mean, he's doing a decent job.
I think he's decided finally that he's going to end his, but he's going out on his terms. Nobody's right. Challenging him. He just said, this is my last term. So
he's retiring. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like you said, you know, he decided it was time to hang it up. Well, he's been there forever. I mean, he took Fee's place, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. And that was, God, were we even in high school then, or just getting?
I want to say I think I was just out of college when he
were just out of college. Okay. Well, you know, it's 30 years ago or damn near.
Yeah.
Right. So yeah.
Every 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah. It's something, but he did exactly what you just described. Right. And he keeps getting reelected and people love him.
You look at Connor Lamb, who's just a first term House of Representatives in the United States representative. And that was his blueprint. You know, he was a military guy. And he said, and if you look at the things he said during his campaign cycle, that's what he did. He went very moderate. he went to the people and said, these are the things I'm going to fight for. I'm going to fight for your bottom line. I'm going to try to keep you employed in Pennsylvania. I'm going to try to, you know, improve the rights of workers, but I'm not going to come after your guns. I'm a Western Pennsylvania guy. I grew up in this region. I know how important it is to the hunters and the, you know, you just say those things, really. I mean, what does it mean? You know what I mean? I'm not saying he's lying. I'm just saying, like, what does it ultimately mean? You know, it's just a matter of making them comfortable with you.
Right. And he's saying he understands it. And even though he might be against it, doesn't mean he doesn't understand it.
Right.
Right? You don't have to be ignorant to something to disagree with it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. These folks, Swalwell said it best whenever he said the president, credit to him, is winning the short game. He is successfully obstructing and confusing the American people. But there's going to be a cascade court of opinions against him, saying that it's obstruction. Telling witnesses not to testify is unlawful. Well, so, you know, even though some of these guys understand it, Swalwell's been around a long time, so he gets it. I guess maybe the Democrats don't do a good job on the short-term things, right? They don't go for the quick hits. They don't go for the quick sound bites. But at the same time, and you know, you said it right too. They don't have to. They just have to be willing to enforce their positions. And again, I go back to the argument that they're just not willing to enforce their positions. And I think ultimately that's going to turn out to be a really, really big problem for them.
Yep.
Yeah. I really do.
I agree.
I don't think they have it in them to, you know, get somebody arrested or have somebody arrested. I really don't think they're willing to go that far. Because you have the other side who are willing to make you do that. And I think the Dems are going to end up caving. I really, really do. And that's unfortunate.
It is unfortunate. I agree with you, though. I will say that until they prove to me that they're willing to go to that step, I don't believe that they ever will.
No, I don't either. So just trying to see what's next for these guys. There was two folks that didn't show up. Oh, this Lewandowski thing before we just to backtrack a little bit, you were talking about exerting privilege. Since when does somebody who's running a campaign have any privilege? Because whenever he was, after Trump got into the White House, Lewandowski wasn't a part of anything. I mean, he may have been hanging out there, but he didn't hold a position. He was not an employee. He was not the staff. He was not anything. How the hell does he get away with trying to claim
executive privilege?
Executive privilege.
Yeah, it's just, again, they just say things. They make things up. They claim them until somebody challenges them on it. And that's where you were exactly right when you started this pod and what you talked about prior to this pod, that the Democrats seem so disorganized and disjointed. That should have been attacked from the very beginning. That should have been dismantled from the very beginning. And that's where, yes, like a professional walking in at the beginning. And that's where I think, like, looking back on it and thinking strategy wise, like, let's take the two thoughts, the Rachel Maddow thought and my thought, and marry them, because let's have a professional cross-examination done by a professional trial attorney opening the matter up yesterday and establishing, you know, four or five ground rules, right? And then let those other folks attack him all day and whatever, go off the rails, however they were going to do it, whatever is fine. If they screw up like they did, fine. But at least they would have softened them up all day long like they did. And then close with Burke. You see what I'm saying? So you have the primacy and the recency, and you establish the ground rules early on. You take away that nonsense about executive privilege from minute one, and you move on from there.
Yeah. Yeah. And what really bothered me about how they did that was the fact that, well, first of all, it took a television host to point that out to them, because they're the ones that set these new rules. I mean, you would have thought there would have been a little bit of strategy involved whenever you did this, right?
Right.
But whatever. That's pretty typical for the Democrats if you follow history. Frank, great pod tonight. Absolutely great pod.
I've enjoyed it. It's been animated, that's for sure.
As always, you were so on point. You kept everything going for us. Well, I can't wait to do Butchered Sports tomorrow night. I really can't. We're gonna have a ball with that.
lot of good stuff going on. Lots of fun stuff going on right now.
Yeah, right now, before we just a little bit of a preview, I guess. 87th minute, Byron's up 2-0. And Atleti is down 2-1 to Juventus. So it looks like the Italians all the Italian sides have gotten points.
Except for Atalanta. They're in trouble right now.
Are they really?
They're losing 4-0 to Dynamo.
Oh, okay. Well, still, it's only one. That's not bad.
Right.
That's Atalanta again, you know.
Yeah.
There we go.
Yep.
Frank, I think you're a curse. okay. Let's wrap this up. As always, Frank, thank you very much for your time, and thank you to everybody listening for your time. It's very, very valuable, and the fact that you're willing to spend that time with us is very, very important, and it means a great deal to us. It truly does. So for Frank and myself, until next week, everybody, as I like to say, same bad time, same bad channel. If you don't understand what that means, you're too young to be listening to this pod. So until next week, goodbye, good luck, and God bless.
Hey, wait a minute. I think I've got it.
Butchered Sports. Raw and unfiltered, the way you wish your local sports anchor would bring it to you. Find us on Twitter at Butchered Sports and on YouTube at Butchered Sports. Make sure to like, comment, and subscribe.
Thanks for listening to Holy Sh** with Frank and Master Patsy. If you like our show, please subscribe and leave us a review on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. And don't forget to support us on Patreon. Join us again next week when we discuss the next thing that made us say, Holy Sh**.